Good morning. Today's daf and Gittin Tes Zayin. We're in Tes Vav Amud Beis. We're going to be starting in the Gemara towards the bottom of the Amud with the words by Yilfa. Numerous questions that are asked half and half. Half and half questions because the Mishnah opened up the door to a discussion of half and half. We know that in order to follow Takanas Chachamim and to successfully deliver the get from A to B, from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, so you have one Shliach who's going to be coming and he's going to be saying the magical words of I know this is now the second parak in which we're discussing this, but obviously the Mishnah is breaking new ground. The Mishnah taught us that in order to fulfill Takanas Chachamim, so you must be saying, you're one individual saying both. The Mishnah then opens up a can of worms when the Mishnah says, now what happens if, let's say, for example, you're one person, you can say both Befanenechtam. So let's say you say one and somebody says the other. You say Befanenechtav and the other Shliach says Befanenechtam. Excuse me. What happens under those circumstances? So the Mishnah opened up that door. So right now, we're going to put a bookmark right there because we are not going to be discussing the Mishnah for the first half of today's daf. In the first half of today's daf, we're going to go over and venture into other areas of halacha where we're going to be curious about half and half. What happens where I don't have it bishlemus, I don't have it as one entity, but I break it up into halves. Can I break things up into halves? So we started that discussion yesterday. We're going to continue that discussion today, and that's going to take up the first half of today's daf. Then, at the midpoint of today's daf, we're going to go back to our Mishnah, and we're going to discuss and analyze our Mishnah, and we're going to go back to the topic of Gittin, but first, a distraction. So the first half of today's daf. So, by Yilfa, Yadayim Taharos L'Chatzayin, Oin Taharos L'Chatzayin, can I be Matar my hands in halves, or can I not be Matar my hands in halves? And a little bit of background in order to help us all appreciate and understand what we're about to ask over here. Hands can become tummy. Now, hands can become tummy not min haTorah, but rather mid the Rabbanan. We all know that when it comes to Tumah Taharah as a person, as an individual, it's all or nothing, min haTorah. Either you're tummy or you're tahor. There is no such thing, min haTorah, where part of your body is tummy and the other part is tahor. Let's say for a simple example, you touch a sheretz, right? The sheretz is an avatumah. So you touch a sheretz, that's maga. Now you become tummy. It's not the hand that becomes tummy, the hand that touched the sheretz. It's your entire body becoming tummy. That operates min haTorah. However, the Chachamim instituted that under certain circumstances, your hands are going to become tummy. This is now tumas yadayim. There is an entire masechta dedicated to this topic of tumas yadayim. Obviously, it's a really big topic. We're familiar with tumas yadayim as we wash our hands prior to eating of the bread. Right, and that's everybody. In other words, it's not just a kohen and who are ochlei truma, but everybody. There's a takana. There is a old ancient takana de rabbanan that we wash our hands in order to get rid of the tumas yadayim. Okay, when you wash your hands, so what can you do? So here's what you can do: you can take your hands and you can put them in the mikvah in order to be mitar your yadayim. Now, granted, by the way, the tumas yadayim is only a din de rabbanan, not a din de araisa. But of course, in other words, if you're using a mikvah, which could be matar your whole body, right? You think about it for a moment. I know there's not a lot of reason and rationale that we could use when talking about Tumah Tahara. However, over here, it seems to be a lot of common sense. If a mikvah works to be matar your entire body, the mikvah is going to work in order to remove the Tumah Derabanan of Yadayim, of your hands. So if you took your hands and you put them into a mikvah, that would work. The Chachamim said that's not necessary. Imagine every single time we want to eat bread, so we're going to have to find a mikvah and put our hands into the mikvah, right? Although, albeit it works, but that's not the most convenient. So for this Tumah Derabanan of Yadayim, what did the Chachamim allow you to do? So what they allowed to do is Netilas Yadayim with a cup of a revius of Mayim. All you need is a quarter log of water. That's approximately 4 or 5 ounces of water. Approximately. So you run it over your hands and new, that gets rid of the tumas yadayim. So either you could use a mikvah, which again is pretty inconvenient, or you could use a revius. So far, so good. And again, there's a lot of halachas to explore. We're going to be focused, obviously, on the Gemara's point. The Gemara wants to know. This is, I'm on Tes Vav Amud Beis, and we are towards the bottom at the two dots. It's about 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So the Gemara wants to know, Ba'i'ilfa, yadayim taharos l'chatzayin, o'ein taharos l'chatzayin. So, when you're mitar your hands, so can you do it in halves or can you not do it in halves? Hichidami. So the Gemara says, right now the question is way too abstract. We need more clarification of what we're asking over here. Ilema, dikamashu be'trei mirvius. So the Gemara says, maybe the question is like this. Maybe I'm having two people who are holding their hands under Revius. Revius is the, again, minimum, base minimum amount you need in the cup. So Revius, again, somewhere between 4 to 5 ounces. And now, instead of one person holding their hands under the Revius, you have two people holding their hands under the Revius. And maybe that's the question of Vilfa. The Gemara says, I'm telling you that's not the question of Vilfa. Why? That's not because that's a Mishnah. So over here, again, we are, right, this would be a wonderful opportunity to open up and learn Yadayim, Masechta Yadayim, in order to gain better understanding. Over here, we don't have to do that much. This is the first Mishnah in Yadayim. And I do not want to give off the impression that I know the Masechta. Okay, in other words, that's Musa for myself. However, first Mishnah in Yadayim. So Vatanan. So Merivis not only Yadayim, Le'echad V'afilishnayim. Okay, so Mishnah number one in Masechta Yadayim. And that is that you could have two people using a Revius. The two people are, in other words, I guess the picture would be like this. They're literally holding their hands one above the other. You're pouring from the Revius, right? That cup over there. You finished drinking. Don't, you know. That cup over there. So you pour it over two people that are, both of them with their hands underneath. And I know, by the way, that when you... Right. In the visualization I just provided. So the water is running off of one and coming onto the other. I know that, in other words, there's more to flesh out over there and iron out, but it's side by side. You want to have the visualization. Whatever the case is, the Mishnah says it works. It works when you're doing two with one cup.
But if the water touches one hand and the second person doesn't begum?
Again, this is all operating midrabanan, and once you have the Revius, that Revius is a Metahir. It serves to be Matar. It happens to be that it could be effective not just to a pair of hands, but to two pairs of hands it would be effective. In other words, that's part of the allowance. So that's the first Mishnah in Yadayim. So what's Ilfa's question? It's not that. It can't be that. Because that's a Mishnah in Yadayim. So Ve'ela de Kamashi Chada Chadiyade. So the Gemara says, so maybe we're talking about washing one hand at a time, and he's not washing his two hands together. The Gemara says, once again, another Mishnah. This happens to be the first Mishnah of the second parak of Yadayim. Let me read it correctly. So Yadav Taharos. So let's say you wash your hands one at a time. And the Mishnah over here makes even another point, which is that not only am I washing my hands separately, I'm using two different mechanisms to wash my two different hands. For one hand, I do a cup. Nitilas Yadayim, with a Revius. So I do that with one hand, and the other hand I stick in a mikvah. Okay, now it happens to be shtifa over here, probably isn't the mikvah, it's probably a running body of water, it's a mayan. Doesn't matter. The point is that I use two different methods of tahara. The first method is a Revius, that's the takana de rabbana. The second method is either a mikvah or a mayan, which operates minatora. It works minatora. So, and the Mishnah says, that's good. So, Ilfa's question of doing it in halves. We haven't even yet understood what his question is going on. Having a Revius for two different people, first Mishnah Yadayim. Washing your hands one at a time, I was going to say second Mishnah Yadayim, that's not true. But it's the first Mishnah. Welcome back. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Sorry. So it's fine. So the washing of each hand at a time, that's another Mishnah Yadayim. First Mishnah, the second paragraph of Yadayim. So far, Ilfa's trying to ask a question. We don't know what the question is yet. Ve'ala de kamashi palga diade. So the Gemara says, well, so maybe the question is like this. I have to wash my entire hand. Now, it's easy for me to say my entire hand because I know that's correct. When we try to give the definition of a hand in halach in terms of how much you need to wash, that's not going to be easy because it's not clear exactly how much is a hand. Okay, so I don't want to get involved in what the various shitas are of how much your hand you have to wash. So you have to wash your hands up to the joint. In other words, that's not the lashon of the Mishnah. I'm obviously using an English word. It don't matter. In other words, basically, that's the halacha. The halacha is you have to wash your hands up to a joint, and the joint is exactly where? Not clear. Maybe it's where your fingers come together, and right, what you and I would call the knuckles, but knuckles are... You know, we have knuckles in a number of places, but in other words, I'm pointing over here. It doesn't help the listening audience, but maybe it's this area over here. Maybe it's the wrist. Okay. Could even go up further. Maybe it's to the elbow. does it for our purposes right now. We don't need to know what the hand is. All I need to say right now is you need to wash the hand. Okay? Whatever the definition is, you need to wash the entire hand. And maybe what Ilfa wants to know is the following, and that is, I use my cup of water, wash half my hand, dry it, and wash the other half. Maybe that's what Ilfa is trying to wonder and trying to ascertain. Ve'el, I'm going to read that again. Ve'el de'kamashe, paga paga de'adek. So he's washing half of it. He's washing his hands in halves. So ve'amri de'be rabiana yadayin en taros l'chatzayin. So the Gemara says, okay, but as Ilfa is asking the question, I have a statement of Rabbi Yannai, and Rabbi Yannai says it doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. So lo tzricha dika mashka tofeach. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to now really make this a unbelievably delicate question. In other words, we're going to be using a lot of different principles. Okay, so I know that in order for me to successfully wash my hands and provide for my hands a tahara, from this Tumah D'Rabbanan of Yadayim, I know I need to wash the hand in its entirety. Whatever the definition of hand is, I need to wash the hand in its entirety. I know that. I also know, because of a statement of Rabbi Yannai, that if I wash half the hand, dry it, wash the other half, dry it, that doesn't work. The Gemara now is entertaining, what about the following? What if I wash half the hand, don't fully dry it, and it still has some moisture on it? Drops of water are still on the washed portion of the hand. And now I wash the other hand. Can we say now that because my first half is not fully dried, maybe that's a connector? And we're going to now talk about water as connectors. So the Gemara says, "Latzricha diika mashke tofeach, v'chi ika mashke tofeach, mai have v'atanan." And the Gemara says, "Okay, I have now another Mishnah." Okay, we're going to depart from Yadayim Masechta Yadayim over here. This is a Mishnah in Taharos, and it's just simply talking about water as connector. The Mishnah says, "Ha nitzok." Ha katafras, v'mashke tofeach. So eino chibor lo l'tumah v'lo l'tahara. So it says that water in either a state of movement, where the water now is on a slope, and the water is running down. So the water is not stationary, and sloping water is not connecting water. Okay, truth of the matter is that we can go much deeper into this particular point. It happens to be not relevant now to our discussion. So I'm going to leave the sloping water for not just a moment. I'm leaving the sloping water. We're not going to talk about it. We'll just talk about the moisture. In other words, the last point of that mission to harvest is mashke tofeach, that if I just have not water, but I have just a little bit of moisture, drops. So that also is not going to be a connector. That water will not serve as a connector. So mashka tofech lo l'tumah v'lo tahara, it doesn't make connections for tumah, nor does it make connections for tahara. It's simply not a connector. So I washed half my hand. I dried it, not completely. There's still some drops there on the wash portion of the hand. Now I wash the other half of the hand. Can't I say that I washed now the whole hand together because of the drops? And the answer is no. The Mishnah Torah says that drops are not connectors. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not just drops. It's more than just drops of water. It is now enough water where it's tofech lehatfiach. Okay, definition of tofech lehatfiach, where I still have enough residue water on my hand, where if I were to touch something and that person would touch the thing that I touched, he would get moisture. There are levels of moisture. In other words, we're trying to give legal definitions of level of moisture. So there's enough water where it's tofeach. I still have some drops on my hand. But it really is not going to, there's no way that moisture can really transfer, where the other person will be quote unquote wet. And I know all these things are hard to really gauge and define, but the Chachamim tried. Obviously, we're making an attempt over here to give levels of definition to moisture. So that's tofeach. Then what we're discussing is tofeach lehatfiach, where there's enough moisture on my hand, where if I touch something and somebody touched that item that I touched, he would feel the moisture. He would get wet. So that's another level of moisture. And the Gemara says maybe that's what we're talking about. Lotzricha deika tofeach latfiach. Hanami tanina tofeach latfiach chibur. So the Gemara says, well, that is a connection. Meaning if we're talking about that level of moisture, that's going to be a connection. Dilma le'inyim mikvos. Rav Yehuda he did none. So the Gemara says, wait one second. This idea of tofeach latfiach and that being a connection, the Gemara says, I don't think it's as expansive as you think it is. I think that principle is extremely limited. Let's go over a Mishnah together. This is a Mishnah Mikvaos. This is our fourth Mishnah this morning in Taharos, Seder Taharos. Obviously, over here, we're learning Gittin together. It's a little bit strange, don't you think? That in a Masech to Gittin, we're taking off a tangent. It's not strange. You've been in the daf long enough. You and I know that the Gemara goes on tangents. And when discussing Tumah Tahara, the Gemara likes these tangents. Because here in the Bavli, we don't get to learn the Mishnayos of Tumah Tahara. So every now and then, like today's daf, so we're going to be spending a good part going over Mishnayos in Seder Taharos. So here we have now a Mishnah Mikvaos. This is the seventh parak of Mikvaos. Mikvaos Yesh Bo Arbaim Sa Mechuvanos V'Yardu. Shnayim V'Tavlu B'Zachar Zer Rishon Tar V'Sheni Tamei. Okay, so the scene is as follows. You have a mikvah. It has exactly 40 sa of water. Remember, once the mikvah is depleted of 40 sa, anything less than 40 sa, and the mikvah is not going to be metahir. So the first person goes into the mikvah. So good. So now he's tahor. That person's tahor. Now he steps out of the mikvah. Now you understand how water works. The water is going to be, some of the water is going to be coming out with the guy. That's just simply the nature of water. So his water is sticking to his body. So as he leaves the mikvah, so although his tahara is a good tahara, however, now the mikvah is currently chaser. That second person who steps into the mikvah is not going to have a kasher tefillah. That part's easy. That part of the Mishnah is non-negotiable. There's nothing to discuss. However, here comes a discussion point. And that is, let's say the first person has not fully exited the mikvah. He still has a foot in the mikvah. And in comes the second person. So why don't we say like this? Why don't we say that although if I were to measure the mikvah right now at this moment, so the mikvah obviously is less than 40 sa. That first person is obviously walking away with some of the water. But his foot is still in the water. Can we say now that the water that's on his body is considered like it's grounded? Now, right. Now, I'm using the word grounded over here. Probably not the best choice but connected. Can't we say now that that water is connected to the mikvah? So we could view now that the water on person number one is still in the mikvah. So you have the requisite 40 saw of mikvah. And the Mishnah says, it's machlokas. Machlokas between tonight. So according to the Tanakhama, so Harishon Tarva Shini Tamei. So fine. So the Tanakhama would say we have no connection over here. And Rav Yehuda Amrei Mayu Raglav Shel Rishon Nogus B'Mayim Afesheni Tahor. And Rav Yehuda says that if the man's foot is in the water, man number one, if his foot is in the water as he's exiting, the second person who tovel in the mikvah is going to receive a tahara. And what do you have over here? So what you have over here is a case study where Rav Yehuda will tell you that we have connection. Now, what Rashi points out over here is the following. Now, and this is the Gemara's point according to Rashi. What we have over here is, on one hand, what seems to be a perfect application of this principle that when you have a lot of moisture, it's connected, right? That excessive moisture creates connection. But as Rashi points out over here, that's not really the point of this Mishnah. Because over here, yes, it's true. The water on person number one is now considered like it's in the mikvah. But that's not coming as a result of chibur. It's not because it's connected. Basically, what we get to do, you know, and the analogy that I'm giving over here is very deliberate because Rashi's about to use the analogy. You know how in halacha you have walls that go up legally and come down legally, right? It's one halacha we refer to as good asik, the wall extending upwards, and good achis, the wall extending downwards. Okay, and in halacha, we have this kind of legal phenomena where things can go up and things can go down. But we don't say, as we're looking at the wall going up, we don't say, connection. No, what we're saying is that legally, when I have a wall, so I'm allowing the wall to continue upwards legally. So, I'm going to say the same thing regarding the water. In other words, right now I have a mikvah that had exactly 40 saw. Then a person came in, he toveled, now he's ascending from the mitvah. Maybe over here, it's not the pshat that we're looking at connection. That's not the pshat. The pshat is that basically we get to see the water on the person's body as if it is, if it's basically, it's going downward. In other words, we'll still see that water in the mitvah. The water's not in the mitvah, it's on the person. Yeah, but the person's still hovering over the mitvah. And the person still has water on his body. We're going to basically see that water as if it's still in the mikvah. almost like, and I'm using the words because Rashi uses it, almost like the principle of gerachis, like the walls are coming down. But it's not a function of connection, it's just simply a function of the water still in the mikvah. Oh. So to which now, Ulfa asked a question, what if I wash my hands in halves? And we understand now that his question was, where I wash half my hands, dry it, and then wash the other half. Although we also now know that that's not the question of Ulfa, because under those circumstances, it does not work. What the question really comes down to is, I wash my hand, dry it, but not totally. There's still moisture on the wash portion of my hand. I wash the second half. Can I say that the moisture creates a connection? That's the question of Ulfa. That question is left unresolved. Okay. I have to tell you, that first part of today's daf, that was complicated. And hopefully we went through some decent navigation of it, but that was hard. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're in Tezayin Amud Aleph. And we are halfway down. It's a short daf. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Hare Amru. Habar Rosho Veruba Bamaim Shuvim. Vitar Shanafla Rosho. Ve'arubo Shoshalugim Maim Shuvim Tameh. Okay. We're going to learn together right now another Gzera Derabbanan when it comes to Tumah Tahara, and that is showering. Showering makes you Tameh. Now, I'm saying it so simply. It sounds funny, right? It sounds really strange. You take a shower, you're Tameh. I don't know. Usually when you take a shower, you're clean, and it's great. But over here, we're talking about Tumah Tahara and the Chachamim and Gzera. So the Gzera number one of the Chachamim is that if most of your body went into Maim Shuvim, Maim Shuvim is that any water that was collected in any kli, right? So in other words, a pipe, a bathtub, it doesn't matter. In other words, any water collected in a kli, and the majority of your body went into that water, so the Chachamim said your tummy. It's a tumah derabbanan, obviously. Additional to that, so if water were to fall on your head, shlosha luga mayim, so 3 luga of water were to fall on your head, so you are going to be tummy as well. Why did the Chachamim make such gzeras? It sounds strange, right? But the Chachamim were worried like this. In other words, back in the good old days, going to a mikvah was a very spiritually purifying experience, but it was not a particularly clean experience. Back in the good old days, the mikvahs were pits of water. And they don't have like what we have nowadays. We have filters. Okay? But back in the good old days, so in other words, when you went into the mikvah, so you're right, there was no chlorine. So you went into the mikvah, you were pure, you were tahor. But boy, you came out dirty. And so what people traditionally then did is then they went to took a shower. Again, I'm using shower in the modern sense, like the way you and I talk about showers, but basically they had water running over their body in order to clean themselves off. The Chachamim were now concerned that, hey, wait one second. The casual observer is going to say to himself, oh, look at the tahara process. He went into a really a dirty body of water, but then he showered himself off. I got this great idea. How about let's skip the mikvah. Let's just go right to the shower. And so that's what people will think. And then people will end up just showering themselves in order to become tahor. And obviously they miss the most important part. So as a result of that, the Chachamim said that, you know what? You have maim shuvim that fall on your body. You have gimelugim and maim shuvim that fall on your head. And new, you're going to become tamei midrabanan. It's a tumah derabanan to try to make people recognize and realize it's not the shower that's making you tahor; it's the mikvah that's making you tahor. Good. So that's a din derabbanan, gzera, if you will. So by Rav Yirmiya wants to know chetzu bebia. So the chetzu benefil amai. These were two separate gzeras that I just described. One is going into a collected body of water. Two is having the water fall on your head. So these are two different gzera derabbanans. What if I mix and match? Again, that's today's daf. Today's the daf of mixing and matching. So what if I allow half my body to go into Maim Shu'uvim, and then I have my head going under Maim Shu'uvim? So what do we say over there? So do we say now that the two gzeras can combine to make you Tamei Midrabanan? Okay, the Gemara leaves that question alone. We move on to another question. So Amar Papa Hare Amru Balkeri Chol Shanas Nolav Tishagab Maim. Okay. Wow. Another takana de rabbanan, and that is Tisha Kabin. Okay. Tisha Kabin, once upon a time, after a husband was with his wife, the truth of the matter is that not limited to that scenario, but once a man has a seminal discharge, he becomes a Balkari, So is he tame? Yes. What does he need to do? He needs to go to the mikvah in order to become tahor. However, by Ezra and his court, they made a takana. Right? We learned this back in Brachos, Chav Dalet, if I remember correctly. So Ezra and his court made the following takana, and that is that if you're a Balkeri and you want to say Shema and you want to learn Torah, so what you need to do is you need to tovel. Okay? Just, I know this sounds funny, but just to learn in Davin, you need to tovel. That was Takana Ezra. Why he made such a takana, we're not going to discuss right now. Anyway, but if you learn the Gemara in Brachos, so then you're familiar with this, you've heard this before. Okay, so how do you become tahor? So the simple answer is you can go to the mikvah. But however, what Ezra allowed for is that since there is a requirement every single time just to learn and to daven that you need to become tahor, so what Ezra instituted is that you don't need to go to a mikvah kshera. It's okay if you just simply rain 9 kabban of water on your head. Tisha kabban. Take a shower. Now, here's the confusing part, by the way, and my chavrusa and I spent time this morning on this. You know, just moments earlier this morning, I said that when you take a shower, you become tameh. And now, if you're still following me, when you have tisha kabban raining on your head, so now you become tahor. Midrabanan. Well, which one is it? Is it the shlosha lugin of maim shuvim that make you tameh, like I just said a couple minutes ago? Or when tisha kabban rain on your head for the balkeri, you become tahor. Now the answer is they're both correct, but how do I synthesize both those two halachas? Okay, I my chavrus and I spent some time this morning. The Rishonim discussed it. I'm only raising the question. I know there are answers to this question. We're going to move on. It is limited to a balkeri chola. Right, correct. In other words, going to the mikvah would be the simplest solution. But tisha kabban work. So, Amra papari, Amra balkari chol shenasu lav tisha kabban maim tahor. So, by papa chetze betfila v'chetze benesina mai take on once again. It's the theme of today's daf. Let's say half my body I'm going to be using the tisha kabban method. For half my body I'm using a mikvah method. Can they combine? Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. And Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. As promised and delivered, that was a tangent. Those were wild tangents of the Gemara, but getting us into the world of Tumah Tahara, and a little bit more this morning, we became a little more familiar with some of the issues of Tumah Tahara. Let's go back. Let's now. Okay, good. You want to delve more into it? I love it. Okay, good. For now we'll go on. I'll come back. I'll discuss some more after the daf. But meanwhile, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Echad Omer Befanei Nechta, Ve'Echad Omer Befanei Nechta. Okay, so, in our Mishnah, we had the following scenario. Remember, this is the opening Mishnah of the second parak of the Masechta. So we know, we're now in the second chapter of the Masechta talking about this Takana Durabanan. In order for a delivered get, to be a kasher get, so the one shliach is going to come, delivered with the formula of, it was written in front of me, Befanei Nechtav, Bifanei Nechtam was signed in front of me. Under the circumstances, it works. Why do we need Bifanei Nechtam, Bifanei Nechtam? We spent the perek of the Masechta learning this together. There are two opinions amongst the Amoraim. Rabbah says, the reason why I need him to do so, he is testifying that the get was written Lishma. One person can't testify. That's true. Here, one person can testify. Good. That's Rabbah. Shitas Rabbah. Rabbah was of the position that what we're doing is notarizing. Kiyum Hashtar. What he's doing is that he is now testifying to the fact that these signatures are authentic signatures. Authentication of the signatures, Kiyum Hashtar, is a way of validating any document. But over here, the get, obviously, he's validating the signatures. I normally need two? Again, I know I normally need two. Here, one is going to be good. Okay. So, the traditional, classic way of delivering the get, one shliach, and him formulating both Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtam. And then yesterday, we opened up the second perek, and we discussed the following in the Mishnah. Echram Befanei Nechtav, Echram Befanei Nechtam. So, Pasul. So, when I have one saying Befanei Nechtav, and one saying Befanei Nechtam, meaning I have two shlichim, and each one of them is only saying half of the statement, so the Mishnah says, Pasul, it's no good. Okay. put a comma right there in the Mishnah, and now go to the next section of the Mishnah, the last section of the Mishnah. Shnayim omrim b'fanu nechtav. Two people say that it was written in front of us. Ve'echad omer b'fanu nechtam pasul. And one says b'fanu nechtam. So that is very similar. Obviously, the case is a little bit different, but there too, the Tanakhama says it's pasul. And Rav Yehuda machshir. And Rav Yehuda says that in such a case, it would be kosher. Okay. We have to ask the obvious question. Why does Rav Yehuda say that it's kosher? Let's go to our Gemara. Let's start. So, Echad Amar B'Fanei Nechtav, Echad Amar B'Fanei Nechtav, Pasul Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yochanan Lo Shanu. So, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so the Mishnah's case is talking about what? Elo Sheina Get Yosef Mitachas Yidei Shnehem. That's talking about a case where they are both not holding onto the get and delivering the get jointly. Ava, however, Get Yosef Mitachas Yidei Shnehem, if the get is in fact being delivered jointly. So kosher, we're in the top of the Amud Beis. So under those circumstances, the get would be kosher. So Amaka Savar Shnayim Hashayviu Get Me Midinas Yamin Tzrichem Shiyomer B'Faneu Nechta B'Faneu Nechta. So, in this opinion of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, in the name of Rav Yochanan, two people delivering the get, you know what they have to say? Really, they have to say nothing. Now, if the two people were in fact delivering the get together, nothing needs to be said. If nothing needs to be said, so then it don't matter. One said b'fanei nechtam, the other one said b'fanei nechtam. They could jointly just deliver the get and say nothing. Okay. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah is talking about a case where the two are not delivering it together. One of them delivered it. He said b'fanei nechtam. And then another person comes in and he says b'fanei nechtam. Okay. Now, the Amrle Abaye Lamiata Sefer Diktani Shnayim Ba'Amru Omrim B'Fanei Nechtav Echad Omer B'Fanei Nechtam Pasul Reb Yehuda Machshir. So Abaye says to let's call the Shitas Rav Yochanan. I know Abaye's not talking to Rav Yochanan, but let's call the Shitas Rav Yochanan. So Abaye's comment is as follows: could we look at the next case in the Mishnah? I know I just went over it, but let's go over it again. In the next case in the Mishnah, so one person says sorry. The two of them say it was written in front of us, and only one of them says, yeah, but it was signed in front of me. So, there it's a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Now, time of day, and I get Yosef Mitachis Yidei Shneim. Ha get Yosef Mitachis Yidei Shneim Mechasher Rabbanan. So, now, if they came in jointly, holding the get together, wouldn't you say that that get would be okay? So, Amar lay in. He said, yeah, you know what? I would say that it would be okay. So, V'chi ain't get Yosef Mitachis Yidei Shneim by my pligi. So the Gemara says, so then I need to understand. Here's what you're saying. Meaning, look at the cases of the Mishnah, but right now, ignore them for just a moment. Anytime two people come in with the get, delivering the get, they don't have to say anything. That's Shitas Rav Yochanan. Stop there. Fine. What about now the cases of the Mishnah? The cases of the Mishnah is when the get is not being brought together. The two of them are not bringing it together. Rather, one of them is bringing it. And now we're getting some reporting from one, some reporting from the other. One says b'fanei nechtam, but the other says b'fanei nechtam. Okay. Alternatively, two of them say b'fanei nechtam, and one says b'fanei nechtam. So the Gemara says, now I need to understand. If they're not coming together, and in the latter case, where two said b'fanei nechtam, and one said b'fanei nechtam, what's the machlokas? So Mar Savar, Gazrin and Dilma Asya L'Achlufei, Bikim Shar Sama, Nibe Eidachad, Umar Savar Lo Gazrinan. So the Gemara says like this. What's the issue over here is the following. Are we looking to set a precedent? Meaning, generally speaking, when you're notarizing and authenticating signatures, I need two witnesses. We've said that since day one of the Masechta. Either delivery of the get, that is exception. And that's exceptional. How do I know it's exceptional? Because I have one person coming and he's saying, articulating, Bifanai Nechtav uvifanei nechtam. When he makes that formulation, we now know he's notarizing, but this is a special case. Not to be duplicated in any other scenario. So now, when I have two coming, and they say that it was written in front of me. Now, granted, the two are not saying that it was signed in front of me, but there are two people there. And now, let's say I can ask them, hey, can the two of you authenticate? And they're like, sure. In other words, I know that signature. So now the machlokis in the Mishnah, as per the Gemara's explanation right now, is here's what they're debating. Are people going to walk away thinking to themselves, oh, kiyum ashtar, right? It's done with two. Even though how many of them actually said b'fanei nechtam? Only one of them. And then the question becomes, are we now going to be setting a faulty precedent where people will walk away thinking to themselves, ah, kiyum ashtar can only be done, only needs to be done by one, not by two. Okay. And that's the machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Okay. Lishna achrina, amrila. We're going to do now the entire discussion again, a second round of this. Oh, good. We're going to do a second round of this, and it's going to sound a little bit different. Lishna achrina amrilam. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda by Amar Rav Shmuel by Yehuda. Amar Rav Yochanan afilu get yosef mitachas yidei shneim pasul. Okay. Now in the second version, we're going to start off with the following assertion that if the two of them came in holding the get and they say nothing, so then the get's going to be pasul. Alma kasavar shneim. Okay. Now, in the second version, even if two people are delivering the get, they still need to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay. Now,
why?
Right. So Amalei Abaye Elamiata. So, okay. So hold your question. Okay. Elamiata Seifa. Dekani shneim omer b'fanei nechta ve'echad omer b'fanei nechta pasul. Rav Yehuda Machshir afilu get yosef mitachas yidei shneim pasul rabbanon. So Amalei in. So he says, okay, I'm gonna, now let's take a look at that second case of the Mishnah. The two in one case, where the two are delivering the get, and they're coming together jointly, and they say together, b'fanei nechtav. It was written in front of us. And then, only one of them can say b'fanei nechtav, because it was signed only in front of one of them. And you're telling me that case is talking about where they brought in jointly, and he says, amarle in. So the Gemara says, yeah, it was brought in jointly. So, but my kemiflegi. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I need to do. It's what Ben just asked me. I didn't ignore the question. I just know the Gemara is going to answer it. And that is, what's the machlokas? In this version where, even when two shlichim are coming and delivering the get, and now according to Rav Yochanan, they need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Why? That's two people. So the Gemara says, mar savar, l'fi she'ein b'kiyam l'shma, umar savar l'fi she'ein eidim mitzum l'kaima. Ah. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the machlokas is. We go back to day one of the Masechta. We go back to the machlokas of Rabba and Rava. Why do I have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Again, it's either Lishma or Kiyum Ashtar. This is now over 2 weeks of having this discussion. The Gemara now is plugging it into the Mishnah. That's the machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Okay. So, and let's speak it out. Meaning, if I'm worried about Lishma, so when I have two people deliver, it's fantastic. I have two people delivering it. In other words, they can authenticate the signatures all day long. That'd be great. Do I know that the get was written l'shma? Only if they tell us. Oh. So they need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, even though they're two, because otherwise, how do we know whether or not the get was written l'shma or not written l'shma? Oh. So they need to open their mouth. They need to talk.
But according to your rabbi, that's not a problem.
Oh, and now, so that would be the shita of the of the Tanakhama, that they need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Yeah. And according to Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I got two, we're good. Why? Because they can authenticate. Because Rabbi Yehuda is operating with the reason that you say b'fanei nechtam is not in order to ascertain l'shma, but rather it's for authentication of the signature. I got two people coming and delivering, perfect. Authentication done. Do they need to say b'fanei nechtam? No. Do they need to authenticate? Sure, but they don't have to formula. They don't have to give the formula b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So the Gemara says, "Okay, now lema de rabba v'rabba tanai." You know, Gemara says, "Do you remember how much time we spent in that first parak? This rabba rava, is it a machlokas tanaim? Is it not a machlokas tanaim? Now, in the way we're setting up our mishnah, it comes out now that this machlokas in our mishnah is nothing more than just a function of the machlokas rabba rava, and the Gemara does not want that. Meaning." The Gemara does not want it simply that Rav and Rav are running along party lines of Tanayim. Lo, the Gemara says, no, Rav Matari, it's Kalishnakama. As far as Rav is concerned, the Rav will tell you, you leave the Kiyum Shtar out of the discussion altogether. In other words, then how do you learn our Mishnah? Go back to the first version that we went over 5 minutes ago. In other words, and then the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda are not discussing Kiyum Shtar whatsoever. And Rabba Amalacha Dukoleyama Bein Lishma. And Rabbah will tell you as follows. Both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda say that the requirement is l'shma v'achah b'maizkin alach shalamdu. So the Gemara says, okay, remember, we did this in the first parak, and we get to go over this again, and there was an educational resurgence in Bavel. Remember when Rav came to Bavel, so, right, did they know basic halacha? I'm sure they knew basic halacha, but Rav really helped step up the level of education in Bavel. What's the whole reason we say the requirement to b'fanenechtam? They don't know about Lishma. Rav came to Bavel and shared with everybody, here's how you write a get, here's what you need when you write a get, here's the kavanas that you need when you write a get, and achir shalamdu. Achir shalamdu now, so now the whole reason of saying b'fanenechtam no longer is required. Now, uvigzer sham yachzor davla kikul kemifl gid mar safer gazrinan umar safer lo gazrinan. And as long and as far as what's going on here in our Mishnah, first Mishnah, the second parak, what are the Chacham and Rav Yehuda arguing about? They know about Lishma and Bavel. So even though they currently know about it now, it's Bavel. Meaning, how do we know how long this educational movement is going to last? And maybe the concern will be is that let's keep saying b'fanenechtam, because who knows how many generations we're going to go before the Jews of Bavel are no longer educated. So v'lifog nami Rav Yehuda bereisha. So the Gemara says, okay. So if the issue now is they know about Lishma, we're no longer worried about Lishma. So then, why is Rav Yehuda waiting until the case of 2 and 1 before arguing? Meaning Rav Yehuda should also argue in the case of 1 and 1. So the Gemara says, Hayid Mar Allah Amar Ula Chalakayu Rav Yehuda after Rishona. Ula says, perfect. Rav Yehuda argues in the latter case of 2 and 1. And he also argues in the former case of 1 and 1 as well. Mazav Revoshia Laula, Rabbi Yehuda Machshav Bezuvalo Bacheris. So my love Lamute Echad Befane Nechtam Vechad Befane Nechtam. Meanwhile, we have a Brisa. The Brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda argues only in this case, not in another case. Presumably what the Brisa is making reference to is the first case of 1 and 1. So the Gemara says, no. Befane Nechtam Avalo Befane Nechtam. Sorry, let me do that again. Lo. Lemeute b'fanei nechtam avalo b'fanei nechtav. The Rav Yehuda, although he is allowing the 2 and 1 case, do you know which case he's rejecting? Not the first case of the Mishnah, but a different case altogether. And that is that where the Shliach says b'fanei nechtam, but he didn't say b'fanei nechtav. So sakadat chamino hol v'lo gazer Rav Yehuda gzeresh amiyachzer adavar lekukulo demasi lachlufei b'kim shar da'alma. So eid echad nami lo gazer. So kamash malan. So I might have thought that, look, all this is a secondary gzeira, meaning in Bavel they know about Lishma. We're only now, this is a secondary concern of how many generations is this going to go, where they know about Lishma. And so now in the secondary gzeira, I might have thought that if I have one aid, and he says, b'fanei nechtam, so maybe under those circumstances, I don't have to include this in the secondary gzeira. That's the Havamina, Kamash Malan. Okay, and the Chiddush is not that, no, that we don't, even in such a case, if he didn't say, the shliach did not say both b'fanenechtam in the secondary gzera, that's still going to be problematic. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Let's recap. Let's review in our daf today. So we went over half and half. Okay, what if I use half of this, half of that, and we discussed it in the first half of today's daf regarding tumat tahara. We talked about it vis-a-vis netilas yadayim, where you need to wash your hands with a revius. What if I wash half my hand, dry it, wash the other half? Would it work under those circumstances? Gemara's question. Gemara attempts to answer. We talked about the case of the person stepping into the mikvah, stepping out, water coming with him, but his foot is still in the mikvah. Similar, but not the same. Go back to how we differentiated earlier. We also discussed questions of what if I become tamei derabbanan by coming into contact with Maim She'uvim, but one was bia and the other one was where it falls on your head. And do they combine to make the person Tameh? Again, that's a second half and half question. A third half and half question that we asked today is Tisha Kabin. If I try to be Matar myself using the method of Tisha Kabin, the person becomes a Balkari and he's using Tisha Kabin, but half is by Tisha Kabin, the other half he's using a Mikvah Kshera. Would that work? Three different questions of half and half today regarding Tumat Tahara. Good. That was number one. And then number two, the second half of today's daf, we return back to our Mishnah. With an attempt to understand, In the Mishnah, we had a case of two shlichim coming. Now, if they came jointly, so do they need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? And in today's daf, we have version number one of Rav Yochanan, version number two of Rav Yochanan. In version number one of Rav Yochanan, when the two are coming together, no need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Only the Mishnah is only discussing a case where they came separately. Then we have a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, and then a question of how to understand that machlokas. Good. That was version number one. In version number two, where even when the two shlichim come together, they need to say and articulate b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Question, of course, is why, meaning I have two. Why do they need to say it? And the Gemara tried to give an explanation for that as well. And we did so for both Rabbah, and we did so for Rabbah. Okay, we'll pause over here.